Cisco.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and let me tell you, a little video called XP1K dropped today, and let me tell you, it blew my mind, and we've got all the guys behind the video going to be calling in here in a second. We're going to have some X Games coverage, World Rally Championship from over in Finland, but before we get to all that, let's welcome Joey D and Matt and Josh Martelli to the line.
Hey, Jim.
Joey, I think trying to work on getting Matt and Josh picked up here. We're having a problem, I think. There we go.
All right, well, I'm here.
You got me?
Yeah, I think we're all hot. All the lines are good to go. How's everything going, guys?
Good, great. Everything's going really well.
Well, I was talking to Joey a little bit before the show, and, I mean, you know, all three of you guys, it's got to be a hell of a relief to kind of have this project out in the open now and you know, kind of be out there and just get to kind of reap the rewards.
Yeah, I mean, I know Joey can speak for it as well, but yeah, it's a huge relief. We had to keep this thing under wraps and you know, have a total media blackout. So it's really hard when you're doing something that you think is really remarkable and you want to talk about it and you want to share it with your friends and you want to share it with all the people, but you know, we had a real strategic plan as to how we were going to roll this project out, and, you know, we stuck to it. So, yeah, it's funny, though, because the minute you get done with a project like this, you already have, you know, 100 ideas for the next one. So, you know, it always seems like as soon as we complete one, we're always looking to the next one, so...
Well, I got to say, you know, it was funny, you know, watching the video and right at the end, you know, it's a to be continued. So this definitely is going to be an ongoing series, or you've already got plans for next one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's pretty much a constant for us. We're always, you know, we're always thinking about vehicle dynamics and, you know, what we can do in a vehicle and where we can do it and who we can do it with. So, you know, our list just keeps going.
And hopefully, you know, I mean, I think, Jim, just to go along with that, you know, that whole to-be-continued thing, I mean, we were a little unsure, you know, how the response was going to be from the Polaris side. I mean, we knew what we had put together was pretty spectacular, but we had the chance to premiere it at the dealer show in Washington, D.C. For Polaris this last week, and the response immediately right after the premiere of it was, what's next, you know, so that's pretty exciting for us. But we definitely are hoping to get to do plenty of these down the line.
Well, and it's got to be exciting for you guys. I mean, you know, working with a company like Polaris, and you know, and they stepped in with you know, with the Mint 400, and they've been a huge part of UTV Underground and everything you guys have going. And it's got to be cool to work with a company that's so progressive with these machines. And I know we've talked about it before, but it seems like every year they keep raising the bar. And here we are with you know, this XP1000, and you know, I'm looking at the capabilities of this thing, and it's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to give Joey a lot of credit for that. I mean, he was essentially the guy who introduced my brother and I to UTVs and to the performance side of it. And, you know, we quickly figured out how dynamic these vehicles are and what you could do with them. And we're just really scratching the surface, you know. But this one was remarkable. I mean, we pulled out the stops and you know, we went and built a dream team of builders. I mean, we have Kevin Croyer doing our motor package, and you know, MCX Turbo built our turbo, and then we have you know, the cheat code, RJ Anderson's father, Randy Anderson, who's built more off-road vehicles than anybody on the planet. So, you know, we put together a dream team, and then of course RJ. I mean, you know, the kid's 20 years old. He's just an unbelievably remarkable, good driver. And it was a really fun process to work with him because, you know, a lot of the stuff that we were doing out there, he had no idea if he could do or not, but we had a lot of confidence in him, and we were right. Like, as he got used to the vehicle and went and made the attempts, like, he was nailing them, you know? I mean, a lot of times I had to tell him, hey, don't make that look so easy. The landing is too perfect. Let's make it look sketchier, you know? So yeah, it is exciting. I mean, what we want to do is really simple. We want to, you know, take the best drivers on the planet, build the most dynamic vehicles, and take them to the wildest locations and deliver, you know, content that makes you feel something, that makes you, you know, feel like you want to go race and you want to go do these things, you know, and that's what it's all about to us.
Well, and Joey, I mean, you know, let's compare this vehicle. I mean, you know, UTV Underground's had some pretty wild project UTVs in the past. I mean, you know, obviously this is a step above, but, you know, how does it compare?
Well, I mean, there is no comparison. This is like 7 years of UTV development all piled into this one car. I mean, this is essentially the dream machine for any go-fast UTV guy. You know, the XP1000 platform, there is no better platform today to do this with, just in stock form, and we just got to spend 3-4 days playing with them in the dunes this last week, and just in stock form, they're unreal. So then to take on Holes Racing Products and have him build this chassis out the way he did and hook up with Kevin and have Croyer build the gnarliest motor that's ever gone into a, you know, factory-based platform. Randy with the shock and just everybody involved. I mean, this car is unreal. We have, at 13 pounds of boost, which is the absolute lowest setting, we have 190 horsepower at the wheel. That's pretty insane considering the car weighs somewhere around 1,200, 1,300 pounds. This thing, when you get into the boost, it wants, especially if you're on blacktop, it wants to just jump and hop and lift the front wheels right off the ground. It's pretty intense to be driving this thing. But, yeah, I mean, the machine is next level. We've built some badass cars at UTV Underground. We've had the opportunity to build some really cool Razors, but nothing like this. This is, for right now, the ultimate. I mean, we can always come up with ideas of what's next, but as of right now, I mean, it's hard to envision getting any better than what we've got right now.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
Especially,
we're getting a caller. Hold on. Maybe this is RJ calling in. Let's see. You're live on the Down and Dirty Show. How you doing?
Jim, hi. This is Jason from Polaris.
Oh,
yeah,
hey, how you
Jason.
Doing?
Hey, Jason.
How's
how
going,
are you
buddy?
Not quite RJ. Not quite that kind of star power.
Well,
but
yeah,
I'm
you know,
proud nonetheless.
I was going to say, you know, you're is an integral part of this this project as anyone. How you know, how's it feel for you? I mean, you know, you as Polaris, you've had to been tied up this just like Josh and Joey. I mean, how you know, how's it for you to see the numbers? You know, every time somebody clicks on it, going up, and it's just got to be exciting to have it out there for you. Hello? Hello?
Pretty phenomenal for us, you know, to be able to take XP1000 to the world and then within a week's time just completely raise the bar on what a video is, what a what these cars are capable of, and to put that out there to the audience that this thing is going to touch is mind-blowing for us, and we couldn't be more proud of what Joey and Matt and Josh and everybody at the team has put together. This thing is special in every way. And so we're kind of having a proud moment, a proud day today over here. Everybody's got it around the building here. All our factories and plants and offices, everybody's got it rolling. It's XP1K has blown it up over here.
Well, you know, and for you guys, I mean, it's just the platform to start with. I mean, you know, and we were talking about that before you called in. I mean, you know, you guys have consistently raised the bar, and I mean, the XP 1000. It's just, you know, the starting platform is just amazing. I mean, it's got to be exciting for you to, you know, you've got your production models and stuff like that, but you know, something like this, it's a flagship for Polaris. It'd be exciting for you guys to see it out there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, building machines is what we do. It's why we wake up every day, and it's what we love to do. And so, you know, upping the game, raising the bar, it really is just about finding more people that ride in new and different ways and figuring out what turns their crank and then putting it together. So I'm sure you guys talked about being in Dunefest in Southern Oregon and the response we got to the machine and letting people put some miles on it and some speed and just feel how different it is and how good it is. And that's what we work for, you know, those smiles. You get off the, people had never been in a side-by-side before. Anybody that would look at these as a golf cart or a utility vehicle and then step out of it after a blast through the whoops or dunes or rollers after, at 60 miles an hour and realize what these things are truly capable of.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's just adding to their lives. You know, they do this. They spend their money with their families. They come out to ride parks and dunes and other spots to just, you know, have fun, get away from the world and do it in the seat of a side-by-side. And we're just thrilled to be able to enable that and support that and push it to new levels.
Yeah, and, you know, just this is Matt again, just to chime in. I mean, you know, this has been a great relationship and a great opportunity for us, but, you know, one of the keys to this is, you know, we can get people excited pretty much about anything, but when the vehicle and the product is as good as this new Polaris, and I can safely tell you that, you know, we spent the last 4 days, you know, mobbing around the dunes in Oregon, and, we don't screw around. We put this thing through its paces, and, you know, everybody that was with us from Chad Raglan to RJ Anderson to Joey, we're all just blown away with the performance of this vehicle stock. So, you know, if you haven't ridden in a UTV before, go ride and go test drive the XP1000. They're amazing vehicles, especially for what the cost is. You're just going to, you're going to roll out, you're going to have a ton of fun, you know. And that's coming from a guy who spent a lot of time in off-road vehicles and, you know, all the biggest, best off-road vehicles. These vehicles are super impressive and a lot of fun.
You guys there?
Yep, I'm here.
You know what? To be honest with you, I got to apologize. We just had an entire router fry here.
Uh-oh.
So, sorry about that. That was just one of those once-in-a-lifetime things that happens. But, I apologize for that. But, for Polaris and you guys, I mean, you know, I got to say, you guys market a lot different than other companies. It seems to work great. I mean, you know, with Camp Razor and Dunefest, I mean, you guys are all about bringing the products direct to the people. And, you know, where other people, you know, try and shotgun stuff out there, you guys, you know, are taking the products and putting it in the people's hands. And, you know, it seems to be working out great for you guys.
Well, and we love doing it. I mean, to feel the power of Camp Razor, for instance, last January, and how great it is just to go out, shake a hand, and be with the folks and see what they've done to their machines and ride with them and all that kind of stuff. It's a special thing. It's a special relationship to have. And, you know, anytime you're talking about a passion sport, and that's exactly what this is, you know, you're almost required to get out and be with the people and understand them. And I love my job, I get to tell you that. I love my job to be able to go out and see folks from, whether it's the mud holes in eastern Texas or the sand dunes out southwest, just be able to see what they do and how they enjoy being outside with their families and friends. That's the universal part. And, it's a special thing. So you got to be out there. You got to talk to them. You got to shake a hand. We spent quite a few late nights just this week in Oregon, just taking the new machine out to folks, you know. And that's what we love to do, is not just have them at the truck where they can come to us, but actually go roll out into the dunes to their campsites and just let them take a look at it, you know, and try to show them in our small way that we appreciate them riding our machines and we want to hear what they have to say. We take the feedback real serious. And, you know, we just love the relationship we have with those folks.
Well,
Camp
you know,
Razor is an event, too, that unlike anything else that any manufacturer is doing. I mean, for them to come to Glamis, which is a mecca for us, you know, Southwest riders, dune riders, and off-roaders on a major holiday weekend like New Year's, and this year I think we're moving it up to Halloween. I hope I'm not spilling the beans there too early, Jason, but, you know, getting these riders to come out and participate or have a manufacturer come out and participate with riders in such a big way. I mean, throw an event, a giant party, you know, bring out machines and show off, you know, allow their partners to show off all of their custom builds and then obviously do the content like they did last year with UTV Underground and Mad Media for everyone else to enjoy that couldn't make it. It's a special event. Polaris is a special company that's not afraid to go out there and, like Jason said, participate with their end users and network with them and listen to them and ride with them. And it's a really cool thing, and you get a chance to realize that the people at Polaris are just like us. You know, they're riders, and they love to go out and have a good time in the desert just like we do.
Well, and I mean, you know, Jason, obviously you guys, you've got a four-seater that's unbelievable, better than any four-seat on the market. Now you've got the XP1000. I mean, you know, for Polaris as a company, I mean, you know, where do you go from here? I mean, you know, I keep thinking, you know, you guys have reached the top and then all of a sudden you come out with another product that blows my mind.
Well, I love telling people lots of questions about what's coming next and that sort of thing, and we love talking about it. But I just tell people when we're out riding around with them that you can look around at any of these festivals, Glamis any weekend, you could just look around and see the product plan printed out there. It's what the people are looking for. And so lots of research goes into that, lots of time talking to folks and pushing the envelope on what they want. And then our challenge is, how can we blow their minds? How can we take it to the next level beyond that? And people wanted more power and more suspension out of this new machine, and I think what we created was even more than people were even hoping for. And so, you know, that's the challenge, and that's the kudos to all our guys in our research and development and engineering teams. That's what they love to do. They love to go find ways to take this thing to a whole different level. So there's more I can tell. Well, I can't tell you what's coming. I would love to, but I can't. But there's great things ahead for Razor, the whole sport. There's just more great things coming from us.
Yeah, and truthfully, I think, you go out riding one of these vehicles, and you're not going to be worried about what's coming next because you're just going to be enjoying yourself so much.
Well, you know, and I compare what Polaris, you know, I'm a Ford guy, obviously, and I have my ties to Ford, but, you know, I compare what Polaris has done with, you know, the Razors and this new machine. It's kind of like what Ford did with the Raptor. It's one of those things, so good out of the box, you really don't even need to attain the aftermarket side of things.
Yeah,
there's a lot to that platform. I mean, there's so much there, and then the way we built it we have our own line of aftermarket stuff naturally, and so it's a platform, it's a chassis, it's a system that allows it to be customized whether you're out hanging in the dunes or just pounding through the desert, or frankly if you're bumping through the mud and trails and stuff. It's a platform that's universally, you know, 95% of the way there. And then, yeah, there is other stuff that you can easily put on, bolt on, stick on that takes you to the next level too. So it's a great platform universally all the way around.
You know, the thing they did with this machine too is that a lot of machines come out and the first thing we look at is like hardcore UTV guys is, okay, well, we definitely need to put a cage on it and we're going to do some seats and, you know, steering wheel and, you know, all those basics, wheels and tires. I mean, Polaris nailed it with this model. And they, going back to saying where they actually listen to the end consumer, I mean, they applied it here. After driving the stock machine all this week, it doesn't need aftermarket seats, really. I mean, you can put them in, and it's going to help maybe in some areas, but for the most part, you don't need them. You know, and the cage on this car looks badass. It's got great lines. It's got full doors. You know, it comes with half doors, but it's got a full door attachment that you can, you know, purchase straight from Polaris, as well as, you know, V-lock wheels and tires. And, I mean, the thing just overall is insane. I mean, but getting down to, like, the nuts and bolts, the meat and potatoes, if you will, of the machine, the engine itself, I mean, gobs of power. More power than you'll use probably in the hard pack. But in the dunes, I mean, we were, like, wheeling down stuff. It just, it was the most fun you can have with your pants on driving these things in the dunes. And then, you know, going to the suspension, the rear of this car, Jim, has 18 inches of travel. It utilizes 2.5-inch, 12-inch stroke Walker Evans remote reservoir shock. So the reservoirs actually sit up back on the rear of the cage. I mean, it looks like a truck, you know. Polaris is really finding a way to turn these things into true mini buggies and applying things you would see off of a trophy truck right into these cars. It's pretty cool, and they're super fun to drive. And at the end of the day, you're talking about a machine you can go finance and take right to the desert and just go have a blast. And it's something that's affordable that a lot of your friends can afford and buy, and obviously that's what's happening right now.
Well, you know, and let's talk about the racing side of things. I mean, you know, Polaris has been heavily involved in, you know, not only the Work Series, but Best in the Desert. I mean, you know, what do you guys take away from racing and say, the upcoming Vegas to Reno here in a week and a half? I mean, you know, what are you able to draw from desert racing that goes right back into the production models, you know, a couple years down the road?
Well, I'll tell you, racing is the ultimate proving ground of these machines. You know, and to be able to work with all sorts of folks that race in all sorts of series and really prove them out. And those guys, you know, they strip them down, they build them back up, and along the way let us know what can be tweaked and what else they can be doing to them. So that's a big, big part of our product development and testing and everything else. I mean, the guys at Holtz and Jagged X and all the guys that race for us are big parts of our testing program, and that goes straight back to the engineers. We have great relationships, and it's a key piece of why these machines are good out of the box. You know, you can buy a first model year machine from us and know that it's been put through its paces by some of the wickedest environments that we have to offer, because we test them hard, and we test them with people that know how to ride really hard in some pretty demanding technical terrain. So, yeah, I can't say enough about the racing teams and what they do back for us in the product development program.
Well, and Joe, you've seen that side of things. I mean, you know, you've been heavily involved on the racing side, and, I mean, you know, the progression of these vehicles to me is just mind-blowing. From you know, I remember the start, and somebody took out a UTV to one of the races, and everybody's like, why would you want to race that? And, you know, and here we look at them today, and like you and I have said, you know, I think, you know, there's going to come a time where these things are, well, and it's already happening, beating a lot of, you know, the full-size classes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the beginning, it was, you know, they weren't very spectacular, you know, and but now with the horsepower and the suspension and then the team that are involved, you know, UTV racing has progressed to the level that it's hard not to respect or at least recognize the movement that's happening there. So, you know, I mean, UTVs can be looked at as a viable form of competition for guys that want to go out and race at a high level. It can also be looked at as a great feeder class for people getting into off-road racing that want to progress and grow into bigger classes.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of different, you know, positives to UTV racing. At the end of the day, though, racing's racing, and I don't want to discredit one bit the guys that are out there competing in UTVs, either in desert or in short course. You know, these guys are racing at a high level, and you look at a team like Jagged X, I mean, they're a turnkey trophy truck program. They just happen to be racing factory Polaris Razors. But you look at everything from the way they operate, their program from the top down, their chase truck, their strategies. I mean, you could take that Razor right out and put a Geyser trophy truck in there, and they're a turnkey program. They're operating at the highest of level. And then you go to the short course and look at, like, what the Walker Evans and Holes racing teams are doing at Works and GMCC and these other series, and you quickly realize, like, dude, these guys are going hard. I mean, you watch RJ drive for 45 minutes, and for me, he's a friend of mine, and this will all go back to XP1K as we talk more about that and the stunts that he was doing. But I look at him as a friend, a kid that I've known since he was, you know, 14, and I'm, like, terrified like one of his parents, you know? And watching him race those cars for 45 minutes is intense. I mean, that kid is on it. And it's not just him. There's a whole class of them, professional racers, that have come up through the ranks and are ex-quad guys or dirt bike guys or even, you know, other guys like Chad Ragland now. It looks like we may have him doing some UTV racing. And matter of fact, he did out in Dunefest for fun. So, you know, you've got pro guys out there battling in these cars and coming out with ear-to-ear grins. And then also coming out with a sense of competition, like they want to get faster, they want to get better, they want these machines to continue to improve. So it's a legit form of racing, and it's just great to have manufacturers like Polaris giving us platforms for which we can go out and compete at high levels.
Yeah, I mean, I would second that. I mean, the thing that I'm excited about being, you know, race promoter is that we want to make it easy for people to come race and to come have that experience. And, Jim, you know, because you race a trophy truck, you know, what the, you know, level of money is that you have to commit. And it's, you know, it's really difficult, I think, for the average guy to go, yeah, I'm going to basically spend what a house costs to race for a year and or a couple races at the highest level. So this is, to me, this is a really great entry point for people to go out and go, hey, yeah, I want to try it. I actually want to get behind the wheel. I want to get the sensation and of off-road racing. So, you know, I think it's a great, you know, it's a great facilitator of our culture, of off-road culture, because, you know, like Joey said, it doesn't matter if you're racing a Class 11 or a trophy truck or, you know, a Polaris. It's all off-road racing and it's all fun. I mean, you know, Klaus and I did a race down in Mexico earlier this year, and it was in a Class 11, and I had a blast. I mean, I had as much fun racing in that car as I have, you know, racing in other more advanced vehicles. So, you know, I think it's a great entry point to off-road racing.
Well, and, you know, and let's... you guys were the creators of viral media, as far as I'm concerned. You know, going back to, you know, the first Jim Kahanas. I mean, how does this compare to a project, you know, like you did with the Jim Kahana videos? I mean, you know, the location is so remote that you guys were shooting in, and you know, kind of compare it. I mean, to me, this whole project was just it's so huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same idea in essence, but it was much more difficult. I mean, when you look at every time we do something, we try and go further, and this was by far the most difficult project we've done. You know, from the level of the stunts and the tricks to the location to the type of production that we had. And but on the flip side, it was also great because, you know, Polaris kind of gave us, you know, the room to do what we do. So it wasn't like we had a client, you know, standing over us going, no, I want you to shoot it this way or change this. You know, what I always use as an analogy is it's like, imagine trying to go back and tell Led Zeppelin how to make their album. You know what I mean? It wouldn't work. It would turn out terrible. So, you know, we were fortunate in that we have sponsors that have supported us in the fashion that allows us to do the best work. And, you know, so we went out there. But I will tell you, like, it was challenge after challenge after challenge. And, you know, and even with the stunts that we were doing, nobody knew. We're breaking into an area where it's like, you don't know what a four-wheel drive car is going to do with dirt sliding, you know, up a saucer and, you know, jumping over these gaps. I mean, we had good data to begin with, and we understood the vehicle dynamics, but, you know, at some point you just go out there and you go, okay, we got to just do this and go. So yeah, it was a challenge, and it, you know, the next one will be more difficult. So we don't really sit back and rest on our laurels, and you know, we want it to be gnarlier and harder every time we do it. But it does get to a point where it's like, you know, it's dangerous. It's difficult to shoot. You know, actually, when we did the first filming session, it was during the heat wave, and the day that we got there and started shooting, it was 127 degrees. So we had to wrap all of our red cameras with dry ice packs just to keep them operating. So there are a lot of technical hurdles like that that we had to overcome. But all in all, everything worked out great. And, you know, we had a couple of – we broke a few things. But, you know, all in all, everything went really well. So it was good.
I got to jump in on that one. You know, from my perspective, from the Polaris side, you don't start a project like this and just with a clean sheet of paper. You know, you don't try this and wonder how will we do it. And that's why working with both Joey and the Martellis was so important to us. They didn't come to us with, I wonder what we ought to do. They had a plan. They knew what they wanted. And it was really easy for us to sort of step to the background and let them do what they do. And that's a wonderful thing to see. They drafted basically the whole plan and showed it to us. And we were like, we have to go do this. We have to try this. And from there, they ran with everything, from the building of the machines to the filming and production and edits and everything. It was really of their design, and it was helpful for us to just sort of be there and help, I don't know, mold a couple little things, but really 99.9% of it is all theirs. And so, you know, when you're in our position on the factory side, to be able to work with the very best in the business, not just the guys that are building the machines and driving the machines, but the ones that are putting the plan together and filming it and editing it, and every little attention to detail was taken care of, you know, really put us at ease all the way through this project. And I can't say enough about the whole team, Matt, that you guys have put together, and what you've come up with is a credit to your experience here and the way you go about what you do. Hell of a job.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity. I mean, one thing I will say, too, is that, you know, going back to comparing it to Gymkhana, in the first two, we had a great product with the Subaru vehicle. So, you know, what you're starting with is such a good product to begin with, you know, we're not, you know, reinventing the wheel. We're just enhancing what's there. So that's, you know, that was a huge help. Is, you know, we start with a vehicle that by itself is remarkable, and, you know, we're just going to do things to it to just push it over the top. So, you know, it's cool. And like I said before, you know, that this is our mission, and what we do, you know, with Mad Media is, you know, we want to take the best drivers in the world and build the most dynamic vehicles and take them to the wildest locations and, you know, entertain people and show them why they love motorsports in the first place. I mean, when I was a kid, I fell in love with motorsports, you know, starting with, you know, my experience as a young child on TV, watching Wild World of Sports and watching, you know, the Baja 1000 and Pikes Peak and all those big events. And then when I got to go, you know, touch and feel those events, it was over. I was defined. I knew I was going to be into motorsports for my entire life. And, you know, we want to put that back out there. We want to put out content that, you know, gets people excited and motivated to go race and to buy vehicles and to just participate in, you know, in the culture and the religion of motorsports, you know?
Well, and you know what I find interesting about, you know, this whole thing is you know, being a racer myself and running a trophy, I always want to compare things, you know, and I'm watching this video this morning, you know, at 8 o'clock, and as I'm watching this, you know, and I'm watching this, you know, this racer go and do these stunts and go through the stuff, and I'm, you know, what blew my mind was sitting here going, my trophy truck can't do that, you know, and that's, you know, not only a feather in, you know, RJ's cap, but a feather in Polaris's cap for building a vehicle that can do this type of stuff when, you know, here I am with a $300,000 trophy truck that can't even attempt to even think about doing some of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, when we talk about vehicle dynamics, I mean, we've worked with all the different types of vehicles, and we're fans of all of them. And, you know, rally cars are truly remarkable in their, you know, precision and their speed out of corners and speed and you know, on graded roads. And then trophy trucks, you know, are truly remarkable because there is no other vehicle on the planet that can go through 3.5-foot whoops over 100 miles an hour. I mean, that is a, you know, engineering, you know, feat that people don't even understand what's going on when they see it normally. You know, but, you know, this vehicle is a mix of those two. It's four-wheel drive. You have the ability to switch back and forth between two- and four-wheel drive. And, you know, the amount of suspension that's in this new XP1000, it's, I mean, I can tell you, I drove it all weekend and I'm blown away. I'm going to get one, and this is going to be my, you know, my vehicle for fun. And, you know, we're already talking about pre-running the Ball 1000 in it and, you know, doing other work with other events in it and, you know, and just going down and having fun, you know, with the vehicle. But, you know, it's a really unique vehicle, being those two primary things, that, you know, the amount of suspension and that it, you can switch back and forth between two and four wheel drive. I mean, it is really, you know, it's like mixing a rally car with a trophy truck.
I got, you know, and I don't know if this is a question for Jason, for Joey, but, you know, obviously you have this unbelievable machine sitting here now after, you know, after the production's over. You know, what's in the future for that particular vehicle? Obviously it's not, I don't think it's going to sit in somebody's garage and collect cobwebs to see this out for racing. You know, do we have some more project lined up for it? What's the story?
No, that car is definitely not going to just sit there and collect dust. That car is too much fun to be driven. It needs to be driven. Hopefully we'll get some other people to experience it. But, you know, we hope RJ is able to take that car places and show people in person what all is capable out of a UTV. I mean, we don't need 190 horsepower and single-seat handbrake, you know, deal like that, like the XP1K car is. To go out and enjoy UTVs and appreciate them. But that car in particular, personally, I'm hoping we can see it do a couple stages, a couple rally stages with Rally America. And Matt and myself are having conversations with them, and there's already sort of a UTV following being built around Rally America, so hopefully we'll get to go take it there. We would like to do some hill climbing, if not Pikes Peak, some other stuff that maybe we go do on our own. I mean, there's all sorts of things this car can do. I mean, for me, I'm hoping and I'm looking forward to Camp Razor because I know we're going to break this car out, put some paddles on it, and go see what it can do in the dunes just for fun. And, you know, who knows what else is up our sleeves with this car. You know, I think there could be a lot more to be done with it. And one thing's for sure, whether we're filming a project or racing, or just going out and having fun, this car is going to get driven one way or another. It's too badass not to.
Well, let's talk real quick about Camp Razor. Obviously, it's coming back again this year. You know, anything new you want to share with us, Jason, you know, that's on the horizon for Camp Razor? I mean, I know personally I missed it last year, and we had you on air talking about it. I'm looking forward to actually being there and experiencing this deal in person this year. So, I mean, what's on the horizon as far as that goes for Polaris?
Well, we'd love to have you out. It'd be great. So, yeah, we're going to do Camp Razor at Halloween, and we want to start the riding season, kind of kick it all off with and bring this machine out there. So we learned a ton from last year's New Year's event, and so we'll take all the best parts from last year and kind of turn it to 11 this year. So we got all kinds of stuff coming, like the show and shine. We're going to have our dirt theater coming back out so we can show this sucker and all the other good videos off. You bet we'll do our fireworks and have our displays going. One of the best things that we did last year that we'll do in a bigger way this year is have some simple service for people that own Razors. You know, last year we had engineers and our service techs out there that we're doing everything from doing inspections to simple maintenance and in some cases really helping guys out that had some either breakdowns or failures or whatever else going on. And this year we're going to do that in a big way, because if there's one thing we can do is keep people riding, that's exactly what we want to be doing. So we have all that coming on there. We'll have a couple special things that we'll announce a little as we get a little closer to the event. And you know that XP1K and that car and RJ are going to be a big, big piece tied into that. So we want to put it out there in ways for people to kind of come and experience and be a part of what this machine is all about and what that video is all about and see it up close and personal. So lots of good stuff. I hope that everybody puts Glamis at Halloween on their calendar to come out and see us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and one thing talking about XP1K we haven't even touched on yet, you guys set a world record during the filming of this thing. Was that was this a plan all along, or was that just something that came along halfway through it, or, you know?
No, it was definitely our plan all along, and, you know, we wanted to, you know, show people again, like, you know, I mean, this thing could jump 130 feet, and you saw it jump. It did it no problem, so... You know, we just wanted to, you know, we wanted to show people, like, hey, look, this thing it's a gnarly vehicle, especially when you're talking, you know, horsepower to weight ratio. So, it was something that we had wanted to do for a while, and we wanted to do it in the context of this piece because, you know, we didn't want it to be dismissed as some fluke small thing and you know, not get the eyeballs that it deserves, but it was gnarly. Like, you know, I don't know if you looked at it closely, but in order to get over the marker that we had set to break the record, what RJ had to do is come flying off that jump and tap the front brakes right before he went off to get the car to rotate forward. And as you know, you tap the front brakes too hard, and you're going to end up endoing. So, you know, again, props to RJ Anderson and his driving skill set. You know, I mean, he was able to, you know, just do it, and it was incredible.
RJ, in that moment, Jim, it was a pretty special thing, especially looking back on it now. You know, we lined up to go do that jump, and this was one of the last stunts we were doing as we neared the end of filming, and it was big, and, you know, pretty much the entire crew is out there at this point, kind of like everyone wants to see this stunt, right? And RJ's lining up, and, you know, the other thing is everything we did in this video had consequence, and credit Matt. I mean, the ideas that he came up with along with Josh and RJ were really intense, and obviously, RJ kind of makes a lot of it look easy. You don't realize how gnarly some of the stuff is that he's doing. But going off this jump, I mean, looking at the takeoff and the landing, it's like, oh, this is butter, right? And we have a lot of confidence in it. But you don't realize that as you're coming in with speed and you look at that takeoff for that world record as he hits that concrete ramp, there's two big concrete pylons on either side. You know, should he get loose coming in and getting to the concrete, or we have a mechanical? I mean, things can go wrong really fast. And so RJ lines up, and he takes off, and he's hitting that jump, and he's just not getting the speed he needs to get over that line. And, you know, he's getting frustrated because he wants to break it, and he wants to break that record. And he wants to shatter. He doesn't want to just beat it by a foot. And he actually says that. He comes pulling up after we're like, dude, you've got it. You know, you're right over it. And he comes back, and he's like, no, I'm not going out like that. We're going to break this record. And it was just, you could see the drive that he has. Like, right there, it was like, whoa, like, this kid has flipped the switch right now, you know, and he's going for it. And Tony Vanillo, another name we haven't mentioned yet, Tony was the guy who built, as we came up with an idea for a stunt, Tony would come in there with his crew, and he would lay it out and make the dirt ride and work with RJ and our team and just making sure that takeoffs were proper and landings were proper and safety was in order, and Tony did a great job. And we're kind of sitting there powwowing, like, how can we get more speed? We're trying everything to get a run-up on this thing to go bigger. And Tony's like, I'll just carve out that mountain right there and make a ramp. So what you kind of get a glimpse of is there's like an X Games-style run-in that RJ takes on that last jump. And he comes off that lift. He's going probably 80, 85 miles an hour as he goes for that world record. And the intensity of that moment and the intensity that RJ had and the will and just the commitment to break that record in a way and go big was just really something special to be a part of. And watching RJ go off that lip and set that rotation in the car and go over that line the way he did, I mean, the sound guy on the set was just having a fit, because as he clears it, we're like, hell yes, you know, everyone's jumping up and high-fiving, and it was hard to contain ourselves for the moment for the video, but it was a pretty special stunt that happened right there, you know. It was a cool moment, I think, in UTV history.
Yeah, and, I can add to that, because, we grew up doing action sports videos and freestyle motocross, so we've been, there, in a part of a lot of world records, and, this one was really special. And, again, RJ's gnarly for, a guy who's 20 years old. He has a big, big future ahead of him in off-road racing and beyond. And, I think you're going to see him accelerate in short course, and we're already talking about desert stuff for him and maybe even rallycross. So that's really cool. And, again, going back to the whole dream team idea, I mean, Tony Vanillo and I are good friends, and, for the people that don't know who he is, he's responsible for, what we know today as short course. He organized the events, built the tracks, did everything, him and his family and his crew of people. And, so when we started talking about this project and we were talking about, well, we need to build dirt ramps and we need to build these obstacles, many of the obstacles that I wanted to build were from tracks that he built. Like, when we show the moguls through the monolith, that's a direct rip on the moguls that he built out in Arizona. And, the big hip jump that we have, that was a direct rip on or direct influence from the hip that's at that same Arizona track. So, he's built a lot of really dynamic vehicles, and I'm sorry, a lot of dynamic tracks. And, again, going into his history, it's because he's a vehicle builder first, so he understands what he's building for. And we really wanted somebody like that we didn't have to babysit and tell them what exactly to do. And it was awesome working with Tony Vanillo and the OMG crew. We had to do very little adjustment. They were, they moved incredible amounts of dirt quickly and built stuff. And they just, they're pro. They know what they're doing. If I was going to do anything else, they'll always be involved, again, our whole crew and everybody, I give them a lot of respect. This was not an easy project. We were out there for a week when it was over 120 degrees, and, we were able to accomplish something that I believe is truly remarkable and that'll, get people interested in UTVs as well as off-road racing and off-road culture.
Well, yeah, I just, to me, it's just a mind-blowing video. I really didn't know what to expect, along the lines with a lot of other people. And, and I kind of went in there with an open mind and, really was just mind-blowing to me. I mean, you first, a week or so back, had the big product launch from Polaris, and then you followed up with this. And to me, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's been a fun week, and it's work, it's stressful. But at the end of the day, it's like, man, this is what we're doing for work. Like, it's cool, And it was a really fun week. And Polaris inviting us out to come out and be part of their dealer show was just really special. And we were honored to be there. And then to see that video played inside of their presentation in front of all of their entire national and even international dealers, that was really cool. And the reactions, Jason was in the back, Matt and Josh and I with RJ and the Walker Evans guys. We were in front of the presentation watching on the big screens, and Jason and a couple of the Polaris guys that were in the back were saying that once the video started playing, it was nothing but iPhones that everyone's recording, and just listening to the oohs and the ahs and the chuckles. We knew right away, like, okay, this is being received really well. They're into it, and then obviously walking out of that presentation and immediate high-fiving and, people just like, oh, my gosh, that's insane. And, again, you got to go back to RJ and the talent that he possesses and just the balls it took to do some of this stuff. the saucer turn where he goes up and drifts that. I mean, we looked at it in the beginning. We knew right away we were going to do that. Right from the moment we saw that structure, we knew that's what we wanted to do. Well, you know, you fast forward a month, and now we're there to do it. And we stood at the bottom for like 40 minutes going, can we do this? You know, you begin to second guess because then all of a sudden reality hits. Like, this stuff is gnarly. Like, if he doesn't pull off that turn or he goes too high and his back tires come off, and, I mean, it can go all sorts of bad, you know, really quick. And so for RJ just to go up to each stunt and look at it and nut up and just go hammer down and do it, I mean, and then pull it off was amazing. I got in the car later in the day on one of the days and just went playing in it and turned around and was ripping down the road and hit the handbrake and gas and completely lost control of the car and quickly realized, like, dude, it takes some skill to understand the throttle control that it possesses to run that car at high speeds and to do those stunts.
Well, and here's a question for Jason. You know, obviously, you know, Polaris based, you know, in the Midwest, you know, something, you know, like this video or let's say even, you know, your guys' sponsorship of the Mint 400 and, you know, and that aired back in June. You know, what's the feeling around, you know, people back there that maybe haven't experienced an off-road race to see something like the, you know, Mint 400 on TV and see what these vehicles are going through?
Boy, you know, I think we have a pretty solid handle on what these machines are capable of. And then you get a chance to see them in the hands of just true experts like RJ or Chad Ragland or, you know, even the other stuff that Joey and the UTVUnderground.com guys, they put these machines through, and it gives you a whole new level for what they're actually capable of and what people want to be doing with them. And I think that's the part that marvels us back here. Is we know these machines are capable. I mean, we build them for that reason. But then to see what people can go out and do and take it to a whole new level, I mean, I still remember the first time those guys showed me just even still images, illustrations of the types of stuff they wanted to do in this video. And I think my palms started to sweat just looking at the stills. And, you know, they're gonna do what? You know, it shouldn't work that way. You know, physics. It's just crazy stuff, but it just, again, shows you the passion that's in this industry and in this sport, and you put true creative people and experts together, and you can come up with a truly special piece like we just have here. And so I think that's what we really dig on back here in Minnesota is seeing what true professionals, true creative minds, what ingenuity comes together and then what people can do with them. And, you know, that's the part that just turns us on.
Are we losing another router, Jim? Must be melting down again.
That sucks. Hey, but what doesn't suck is we just got the cover of Jalopnik.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
You guys there?
Yeah.
We're here.
I don't know what's going on, man. We had another switch back to the other router. It's all kinds of issues. I apologize, man. This is not something that normally happens. So. I know, you know, it's just, it's been a wild couple of weeks for you guys, and, it's gotta be exciting to have this thing off the ground. And, you know, we're nearing the 1 hour mark. Anything you guys want to leave us with?
I would say, like, you know, enjoy the video, pass it along, help us spread the word, and, you know, on to the next one. we'll be more coming.
Well, that's me excited. You know, the to be continued. You know, at the end of that, it was like, you know, what can you guys come up with next?
Oh God!
You know,
don't even ask about that.
Yeah, you know, the thing I'd leave you with is, of course, we want people to come and get interested in Razor and that kind of stuff, and they can do that on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and that kind of stuff. But The other thing I'd really tell people is you got to check out utvunderground.com and subscribe to what Joey's got going on out there, because that's where the best stuff in the industry really is. And it's more than just a forum. They produce original content that takes a good look at the lifestyle of what's going on out there in sports side-by-sides and brings it to you in a really cool and engaging way. And that's thanks to the Martelli guys. So, you know, check that part out. Subscribe to his forum, subscribe to his YouTube, and really be part of the best parts of sports side-by-sides out there.
Well,
Jason,
and, you know,
Jason
I gotta,
just summed it up for me. He just summed it up for me.
Yeah, you stole Joey's thunder. I love it.
One of the only times I get to do that, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for me, Jason, and being, you know, an off-road racer myself and, you know, growing up in this industry and you know, spent, you know, 30 years of my life, you know, involved in off-road motorsports, I truly, from the bottom of my heart, you know, thank Polaris for getting involved in, you know, in desert racing, the MIT 400, you know, everything you guys do, you know, is a, you know, being a major manufacturer, you can, you know, spend your dollars just about anywhere you want to, and to see you guys spending them in off-road racing, I mean, you know, I truly appreciate it, because what you guys are bringing to the table, I mean, it really hasn't been done before in off-road racing.
Well, thanks for that, Jim. We look forward to just more and bigger and more and bigger into the future.
Well, that's great. I appreciate you guys all taking the time to come on air. And, yeah, I think everybody needs to go and check out XP1K and watch it once, twice, three times, you know, whatever you guys can.
Yeah, on YouTube, it's obviously Golden Richter over there right now, Polaris Razor Facebook, UTV Underground Facebook, xp1k.com. It's everywhere. xp1k.com has a bunch of cool inside, you know, photos and different things. And then Polaris Razor this week will be doing some cool stuff, hosting some of the exclusive behind-the-scenes content. So it's going to be a fun week as we begin to share and roll out XP1K here. And obviously there's going to be some other videos to come down the line. I'm looking forward to, personally, the Martelli Brothers remix edit. That'll be coming to some music, and obviously the GoPro footage, and there's a lot of cool stuff to come from this that people haven't seen yet, so we're really excited. But thanks for having us, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. You guys know you're all welcome, and looks like we'll see you guys at Vegas or Reno in, what, about a week and a half, huh?
Yep.
Yes, sir. We'll be there.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Joey D, Jason from Polaris, and Matt and Josh Martelli. It's just you know, been a hell of a show thus far, and you know, really some awesome guests today. And anytime you get Jason, I mean, we're talking you know, head of marketing for Polaris. You know, it's just you know, get his take on XP1K and off road racing is really amazing. I, you know, apologize for the technical difficulties we've had so far, a few of them. I don't know what's going on, but we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna have James Masters talking Baja Social Club here at the top of the hour. Stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show.
Without a boat. Announcing Wakeboard Island at Blue Water Resort and Casino, where boarders can rip it up skate park style using a two-tower cable system providing a pull. At Wakeboard Island, there's no boats, no exhaust fumes, and inside the Blue Water Marina Complex, so no boat traffic for all skill levels, from smooth water beginners to jumps and rails for the hardcore. Wakeboard Island, the coolest ride on the Parker Strip, adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina, and coming soon to Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com. Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are HANS compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and man, we just had a heck of a first hour, XP1K. If you haven't watched a YouTube video yet, you need to check it out. Martelli Brothers, Joey D from UTV Underground outdid themselves once again. Just an awesome, awesome film. Speaking of awesome films, we've got James Masters, director of the Baja Social Club. He's hanging out in the queue, so we'll see if we can pick him up. How's everything going, James?
Hey, Jim. It's going good. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. I got to say, you know, I've watched the Baja Social Club trailer a few times, and man, it's got me excited for the film. You guys, looks like you've got a heck of a project, you know, you guys are in the middle of right now.
Oh, yeah, that's great. It's great. It's been such a fun project to work on. I just, you know, it's hard to even put into words. Marty and I talked about this project the very first year when the Nora race came back. We called each other and we're like, hey, you know, this is such a special race. We have to tell these stories of all the guys that really opened up Baja to the rest of us, because they're, you know, without them, a lot of us wouldn't even be down there. So for the last few years, we've been slowly putting this whole thing together, and now it's finally getting to the point where we're ready to release it, and it's just, it's so great to hear everybody else talk, understand how special these stories are.
Well, you know, the Baja story has been told a few times in the past, but I think the way you guys are doing it and approaching it and with the technology nowadays, I think it really, you know, looking at the trailer, you know, it's going to do justice to these pioneers of off-road racing.
Yeah, one of the things that makes it so special for us is we were able to discover some footage from back, you know, from the original race that really no one's ever seen before. It got shot back then. Part of it was shown on ABC, and then everything else, all these reels and reels of footage, just got put in a closet, and they've sat for the last 40 years, and we found them, and we took the time to restore the footage properly and get it transferred digitally and make it as best as it can be. And pairing that footage with the stories of Malcolm and Walker and Bruce and Vic and so many others, it just completes the whole, you know, the whole package, and it really brings to light what these guys did back in the day and how they truly, truly were pioneers. I mean, they were going down there with pretty much no knowledge of what was down there and just out for the adventure. You know, there's Bruce talks about it specifically, and he talks about going down and literally just, hey, we're just going to go and we're going to check out what's down there and see what happens. And that was a lot of the spirit back then. It was just, let's just go see what happens down there.
Well, you know, and you know, working for Oakley, you've had your chance to be involved in all kinds of, you know, different types of film and, you know, projects, both commercial and, you know, and probably some stuff just for fun. I mean, how does this compare with some of the stuff you've done in the past?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate to be able to work with a lot of different athletes in a lot of different sports over the years. And we've been able to tell some pretty amazing stories of those athletes and their and what their accomplishments are, and it's been really good. But this is a personal project for me. I love Baja. I love going down there. I love the adventure. I love the people of Baja. I really love the people of Baja. They're very special, and it's a very special place. You know, you've been down there many, many, many times. It's just different. You go down there, and it's a whole different feeling. It's just exciting. It's adventure, and this project really is allowing me to delve deep into the roots of the sport and to help explain some of those roots and show them to some audience that maybe doesn't know everything that has taken place over the years down there, and really explain why we go and what makes it so special.
Well, you've got a relationship with Ryan Arciero, and you know, and you've been involved in off-road racing for quite some time. I mean, you know, somebody like you, you know, looking in, I mean, you know, how have you seen things evolve over the years to where they are now?
That's a good question. I've been going down. Let's see. I think the first time I went down to Baja, I was 16, and you know, it's obviously changed a lot. I think back then there was no toll road to get you from Tijuana to Ensenada, so that was that was different. It was you know, you just see today there's a lot of guys going down. There's a lot of guys. A lot of racers that go down and everyone, you know, kind of the focus is on the big trucks and the class ones and the trophy trucks, and rightfully so. Those guys deserve that. But it's always good in pretty much anything you do in life is to look back at how you got to where you are. And this story is really going to give that look back and explain, you know, how we got to where we are today. It wasn't always about big giant trophy truck teams and class ones and, you know, even factory efforts. It originally started with just a handful of guys wanting to go down and just enjoy the adventure of what Baja is. And that's really special. To me, it's really special. I hope that everybody who watches it really understands that, and that comes across.
You know, and that's what's, you know, great about the sport is when it formed, it wasn't formed for commercial reasons. You know, it just really sprung up as a bunch of guys wanting to have a good time and kind of, you know, it was about bragging rights. And, you know, and I think, you know, everything's kind of happened organically since then. And I think, you know, that's what's great about, you know, about this sport. And that's what I'm excited to see you guys put out there is really, you know, a lot of people come in and they see the trophy trucks nowadays, but they don't understand really how we got to where we are today.
True. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that the Nora Mexican 1000 race has become so as successful as it has is that exact thought process and the idea of going down and having fun in your vehicle. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is going down and living that adventure and not necessarily having the stress of, you know, needing to get to the finish line in, you know, before everyone else. It's more about going down, enjoying each other's company. Yes, you're having fun racing, but it's more to it. It's more, and hence the name, you know, Baja Social Club. It is more of a social atmosphere, and enjoying everything that Baja has to offer. And I certainly don't mean to diminish traditional Baja, one, you know, the Tecate Baja Score Baja 1000, because that race is unreal. It's just a different kind of fun, you know?
Yeah, well, it totally is. And, you know, and I think, you know, the people at Score, I've talked with both sides, and I don't think either one of them see each other as a competitor. It's, you know, a total different animal. I mean, speaking of Baja Social Club, I mean, you know, obviously you just launched the latest trailer. What kind of timetable are we looking at? What kind of release? Can you give us some specifics?
Sure. Well, we're really fortunate to be able to hook up with General Tire. They've been a huge, huge, huge help in getting this whole project going and keeping it going. It's like I said, it's taken several years to really get all the pieces in place. We did just launch the teaser, and we're actually getting a lot of just really great positive feedback on it. I've been so fortunate to just hear from so many people, you know, there's really great comments. So that was just really touching. And now the plan is to have the movie out by the end of the year. We've got a couple special places where we're thinking about doing premieres, and just get it out there and see. I want to hear what everyone has to think as far as the story, and hopefully they get it.
Yeah, it's really is an amazing story. I'm totally glad you guys took this up and are moving forward with it. And I know the film, it's been talked about for a few years and had some struggles, but I think we're going to get to see it and see it done right. And thank you and Marty. I mean, Marty's been instrumental in that, and he's done a lot for off-road racing over the years. And glad to see the trailer out there and in the open, and looking forward to seeing the film.
Awesome. Yeah. I Marty has been very key both in this project and in many other projects for the, off-road world. And so it's been such a pleasure working with him, and I look forward to doing more work with him and just keeping more and more stories going. So it's just been so exciting, and I'm just looking forward to getting this out there so everyone else can enjoy it as well.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air and give us the latest on Baja Social Club, and any place where everybody can find more information out on Baja Social Club?
Facebook, Baja Social Club, Facebook/Baja Social Club, BajaSocialClub.com. Those are some great places to get all any other information.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air, James. And we'll have to get you back on air. Maybe you and Marty both as time gets closer to launch.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
All right. Thanks a lot, James.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That was James Masters from multiple job titles. He works for Oakley. Handles all the internal film projects for Oakley. Obviously, you know them by fire suits, sunglasses, all kinds of things. And then also he has his own production company, and he's the director of this new film Baja Social Club that we've had Marty Fiocca on air talking about a few times. And new trailer's out, and it's all over Facebook, racedesert.com. Definitely worth checking out. It's worth your trust me. Kind of gives you a glimpse into the Baja story, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the film. When it's released in its entirety. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to have some X Games results, World Rally Championship from Finland, and I've got a big announcement that I'm going to be at this Saturday. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show.
Without a boat.
boat. Announcing Wakeboard Island at Bluewater Resort and Casino, where boarders can rip it up skate park style using a two-tower cable system providing a pull. At Wakeboard Island, there's no boats, no exhaust fumes, and inside the Bluewater Marina Complex, so no boat traffic for all skill levels from smooth water beginners to jumps and rails for the hardcore. Wakeboard Island, the coolest ride on the Parker Strip, adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina and coming soon to Bluewater Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona. Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
All right, welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and man, we've been wheeling in the interviews today. We had Joey D from UTV Underground, Matt and Josh Martelli, Jason DeFuchsia from Polaris, all about the XP1K video. Really pumped to have those guys on air, and if you haven't seen the video, you definitely need to check it out. Over the weekend, though, man, it was all about the X Games going off, and you know, there's X Games, and then there's X Games USA, the one you know, the X Games that happen in Los Angeles, and to me, that's you know, that's kind of, you know, I hate to say the premier event, you know, and take away from the others, but it just seems like the one in Los Angeles guys just raised their bar just a little bit more. And so, yeah, X Games went off, and I got a big announcement to make. Global Rallycross has invited me out to Atlanta, Georgia this Saturday. The Down and Dirty Radio Show will be hosting live Saturday from Atlanta Motor Speedway, and I'll have to be taking on the co-host, Kate Osborne, who is Global Rallycross's pit reporter. She's going to be co-hosting with me. We're going to have all the storylines. We're going to have a bunch of driver interviews, and we're going to be live from Atlanta Motor Speedway. As soon as that gets over, they're sending me up to the press box, and you know, yours truly will be the trackside announcer at Atlanta Motor Speedway. So really excited for, you know, for the opportunity, one, to do radio, and two, to be the announcer for Global Rallycross for a day. So should be exciting, and you know, and definitely you're going to want to tune in to ESPN and the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Saturday for all the latest, and I guess to get more of me. Yeah, X Games happening over the weekend. You know, all kinds of events going on, and probably kicking off with Moto X Best Whip. Josh Hansen taking the win, Jeremy Stenberg in second, but I got to give it up for Vicky Golden. She's competing with the men and took a bronze medal in Best Whip. So I think that's probably one of the few times. I think Fabiola Da Silva, they said, was the last female to ever go head-to-head with the men in a competition at the X Games. And that was on, you know, on rollerblades way back 10 years ago. So, you know, Vicky Golden, definitely breaking new ground. You know, the one that I wonder is you know, obviously you've got Vicky Golden, part of the Metal Militia. She's whipping it up with the guys. I mean, obviously you've got Jolene Van Butte. She can, you know, she can backflip and do, you know, just about anything on a bike. It makes me wonder when we are going to see women's freestyle motocross. It's coming, I'm sure. I think somebody needs to push the pencil there at ESPN and make this deal happen. It was just insane to see Vicky Golden going head to head with the men, you know, and then going to step up. I got to tell you, it was just insane the heights these guys were getting. Ronnie Renner ended up taking the win in Moto X step up in the gold, 38.5 feet. Followed by Lieber Podmal with 37.5 and Matt Byton with 36. But Ronnie Renner, I mean, 38.5 feet, that's almost 40 feet in the air. And you're watching this guy go over the bar. It's not necessarily clearing the bar. It's the atomic drop at the end. I mean, they're basically falling out of the sky. It's just, to me, 40 feet dropping. I mean, that's four stories just drop straight to the ground. Insane, you know, that these guys aren't blowing ankles out and everything else. It's just crazy. Skipping over to Moto X Speed and Style, Nate Adams taking home the big win, Moto X Speed and Style. Blake Williams with the silver and Andre Villa taking home the bronze. Man, it was, you know, I've always said that's one of my favorite events because not only do they have to be fast, but they've got to have, you know, throw in some tricks and be stylish. And it always makes for an interesting event. Getting over to a little bit of men's motocross racing, the adaptive Moto X, that's for guys that, you know, that have prosthetics and stuff like that. It's great to see these guys. You know, most of them have been their entire lives one way or another, you know, had a serious injury, can't compete in AMA, but, you know, they're still very fast, and it looks like Mike Schultz took the win, Todd Thompson second, Chris Ridgway in third. That's your adaptive results. Skipping to men's motocross final, and I got to tell you, the men's and the women's motocross, just absolutely insane. We're going to get to the women's in a second. Justin Brayton taking the win with a big pass. On the last lap, he sat back. I mean, the entire race, sat back. Bam, like one or two corners before the finish, put the pass on Josh Hill, and it was see you later, bye. Just a great race there in the men's. Justin Brayton with the gold, Josh Hill silver. Chris Blows with a second. You know, I think really probably you know, one of the guys that I thought had a real good shot at gold, Chad Reed, finished in fourth. And I got to tell you, he got took out. He was dead last after the first corner. Actually exited stage left off the course and came back and finished fourth. And I tell you, another lap, and I think Reedy would have had a chance to take that bronze. Just a great race. And speaking of great races, then you move to the women's. And Megan Rutledge finishing with the silver. But I got to tell you, Megan, she had a heck of a race, dominated most of the day. Vicky Golden, you know, was I don't want to even say reeling her in. I mean, Megan Rutledge had checked out off the big jump on the last lap, one corner to go. She took her hands off the handlebars, started pumping her fist in the air in, you know, to celebrate the win. And when she took her hand off the handlebars and pumped her fist, the bike started a nosedive. And the way you correct it is give it a little gas. It brings the front end up. Well, her throttle hand was in the air pumping her fist. She endoed off the final jump, crashed. And Vicky Golden went around her, took the win. Megan was able to keep the bike going, you know, at least so it didn't stall out. She got back on it and finished with the silver. And Chiara Fontesi ended up taking the bronze. But I got to tell you, man, talk about a heartbreaker for Megan Rutledge. It was, I mean, she deserved the gold, but, you know, the final obstacle, the whole deal in celebration, she ended up crashing. Tells you, you know, it's never over till it's over. Then we had the debut of Gymkhana Grid. And I got to tell you, anybody that didn't see this was absolutely just exciting. I mean, I think one of the biggest upsets of the whole day, Ken Block taken out in the first round, you know, by Liam Doran. And, you know, we've talked about that many all year long. And, you know, he's got a little bit less horsepower than everybody. The thing's so darn light. I think it lent itself well to Gymkhana Grid. I think, you know, the less horsepower maybe for him, but we had Tanner Faust, Gymkhana Grid. He's your gold medal winner. A little bit of a surprise story. Patrick Sandell I think if you know, you listen the past couple of weeks, I'm, you know, I said this kid's good. You know, watch out for him. And you know, he took the silver, and then Liam Doran in the mini taking home the bronze. So all in all, I mean, I got to tell you, I was very impressed with Jim Conagriot. I mean, I've watched events from Europe online, never seen one in person, seen what they did for the X Games. I think it's here to stay. I think anybody that watched it can't say that it wasn't exciting. I mean, it was all in all just great, and see the car control and precision of these guys. And I think now that a lot of them got it under their belt, it's really going to raise the bar for future Jim Conagriot events. And hopefully we'll see an entire series here in the United States. Skipping forward to Sunday's results, men's endurocross. Taddy Bolusiak taking on the gold. Mike Brown finished with the silver. Cody Webb finishing with the bronze medal. Women's endurocross. Looks like Lia Sands, you know, she's number one in the world, and there's a reason, taking home another gold. Maria Forsberg finishing with the silver, and Tara Geiger taking home the bronze. Miss ESPN, the magazine body issue. If you haven't checked that out yet, Tara Geiger, definitely one of the ladies in there, as well as men. And, you know, you can find, I believe, Court on the cover, so you'll definitely want to check that out. Skipping forward to Rallycross Lights, I got to say, heck of a race. Yanni Wieman, he's your gold medal winner. He's undefeated in GRC Lights competition this year, 3-for-3. He's going to be tough to beat in the point standings. Mitchell DeYoung, I got to say, he did a heck of a job taking home the silver. Glad to see him up there on the box. And Sebastian Erickson taking home the bronze medal. So that's your Global Rallycross Lights medal winners. And skipping forward to the supercar final, I got to tell you, this was an absolute wild, wild race. Probably one of the best laid courses GRC has ever put out in 3 years, made from some insane racing. And, you know, it's, you know, that first corner battle again. And, you know, I think, you know, Ken Block, one of the fastest all day, and Brian Deegan, super fast. Liam Doran was fast, all taken out in the first corner. You had Sever Isaacson, you know, he jumped the gun, and it worked out in his favor. Stop and go penalty that he had, still managed to get him in bronze medal contention. So, Tomas Häkkinen, you know, he's four in a row now. Anybody going to stop this kid? He's checked out on the points. I think he can phone in the rest of the year. But he is your gold medal winner once again. He's just an animal this year. And to me, you know, it's not like he's starting out front. He's starting in the second row just about all these events. And somehow he just slides his car through the traffic and through the trouble and makes it out unscathed. He's your gold medal winner. Tanner Faust with the silver and Sever Isaacson with the bronze. Got to give a shout out to Reese Millen. I got to say, you know, just a wild, wild event. You know, moving on to Atlanta, then they've got Charlotte, then team for Global Rallycross, but. You know, by far and large, I would say that start in Global Rallycross has really become it. You know, you need to make it through that first corner unscathed and you know, be in the top three or four, and you got a shot at the win. And I think, you know, it's a learning curve for a lot of these other guys. So, yeah, other events. We had World Rally Championship from Finland. We're going to run through these real quick. We had Sebastian Oger taking the win. We had Neuville in second, Mads Osberg in third, Mika Hirvonen in fourth, and Sordo finishing in your fifth. Your FIA Championship standings, Oger, 181 points, checked out on the field with Latvala in second with 91, and Neuville tied for second with 91 himself. So, you know, really the battle there is for the second, third spot. I think Oger Rally Championship and Global Rallycross Atlanta this weekend. You need to check that out. Vegas Torino coming up, Rally America Minnesota, Motocross from Unadilla, Torque from Redbud, and Lourdes Lucas Oil from Reno. Lots of stuff coming up. Next week, we're going to have a Vegas Torino preview. We're going to have some Vegas Torino racers on air. We're going to have Rally America, I guess, three-time winner this season, Brennan Reeves in the two-wheel drive class. He's going to be on air. You know, he's visiting stateside from Australia, so it ought to be pretty cool to have him on air. Give me a follow at JimBeaver15 on Instagram and Twitter, and Facebook.com/DownAndDirtyShow. Got to thank Blue Water Resort and Casino, Wakeboard Island, Speed Energy, KC Highlights, UPR.com, Racetech Seats, that's Racetech-USA.com, and Big Shot. Thanks to all you for listening back to us. Tune in this Saturday when I'm live from Atlanta at Global Rallycross. We'll see you next week.